My message is about thanksgiving and prayers. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and through this introduction, I'm going to tell you what. It's the theme of this book is about the preeminence of Christ. Remember, Christ, out of the word of his mouth, even says that in Colossians, that everything is held together. In other words, just one word could, you know, as it were, he tossed Satan out of heaven as a lightning bolt. He is all-powerful, he is Lord, and we pray that people will come to know the Lord. Now, I'll give you a little background here. In Paul's missionary endeavors through the Church of Ephesus, which was started, that there was a one man named here in chapter 1, verse 7. And it goes here that Epaphroditus, a lot of expositors believe that he was saved in the church of Ephesus, went to Colossae, and started the church there. So he could have very well been a church planter. But he was the pastor of this church. He was the one that told Paul, look, while Paul was in prison, remember this is one of the prison epistles. It was written around between 62 and 64 A.D. Paul was in prison, okay, and Epaphroditus came to him and had questions. Now, later on, this same pastor was imprisoned, according to Philemon, and you don't have to turn there. And Philemon is like the book of Jude that we just went through. It's just one chapter, one, you know. And it says in verse 23, it says, Epaphroditus, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So he went to jail for his faith. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, since God is preeminent, knows all things, no matter what situation we get in, as I call it a state of being in a pickle, you know, God knows everything. He takes care of everything. And I'm very thankful that some of you were telling me that you just stayed home because of sickness. Some of you were just wise because there's a lot of bad things going on. But let me get back into this letter here. So there's the greeting. And before I forget, there was an issue. Why was it written? Okay, because there's always reasons why people write. Because there was heresy. There was heresy with false philosophy, which denied the all-sufficient and preeminence of Jesus Christ. There was a teaching going around that Jesus only became the Christ, the anointed one, between the baptism there of John with Jesus to the death on the cross. Before then, he wasn't Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. So there was a teaching there that was heresy that was going around because you had immature Christians that didn't know exactly and understand who Jesus was. Remember, it is all about Jesus Christ. Also, there was Judaistic ceremonialism. There was that because there as some expositors or historians say there was about between 10 and 50,000 Jews that were there at that time. So you had the Jewish mindset and what they said, which attached special significance to rite and circumcisions, circumcision, food regulations, observance of special days. It's like our modern day Hebrew roots, which goes around and says, yes, everything with Jesus plus the works of Judaism. Don't kid yourself. There's plenty of heresy to go around for somebody who's looking for something. It's like at a smorgasbord. You go through there and you see all this food there. Oh, I think I'll take some of this and some of that. Oh, I'm going to feel better. I want to work my way a little closer to heaven, so I'm going to grab this too. Also, there was angel worship. And remember, John in the book of Revelation, he fell down and worshiped the angel there. It was being transpired in the word of God. that is very alive and well today with Mormonism, with the Angel Mormon. It's the fastest growing religion west of Mississippi there. And they got a lot of strongholds because they go after the family. Okay. But of course they believe in polygamy and their doctrine is way off the wall. They serve a different Jesus, not our Jesus. And of course with Islam, they believe that Gabriel, the angel, gave the revelation of the word of God to Muhammad in a cave. Violently. And I believe that was a demon in disguise. But the point is that angels, people have a tendency to put angels first before Christ. And so there is that mysticism there. And then there is anchesism, which is the idea which is called for harsh treatment of the body, control its lust. Remember it says in Timothy, also, in the latter days, there will be people who will deny marriages. Who will deny meats that God has made, which is good. By the way, if somebody's vegetarian, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just missing out on a good steak. Think about that. No. Actually, so these people, they want to take away from the grace of God that God made everything good. They also believed in whipping, too. Self-flagellation. And so that kind of nonsense is going on in the world today because people have been brought up in a pagan society. Say, well, I thought that was a long time ago. No, pagan comes back of the root word is Thor, the god of thunder. You have to understand that people go back to different gods. And so this whole church, let me sum this up here. The whole church had all these backgrounds. We talked about this in Sunday school. The church at Corinth was very worldly, but yet all these Christians brought in all their worldliness. And they wanted wisdom, and they wanted guidance and direction. Today, don't kid yourself. There's a lot of that going on around, and even in churches today, too. You got to go to Mary in order to get to God, and some churches even get into angel worship too. So there's only one mediator between God and man. Who's that? Jesus Christ, right? So let me move on. There's much to say here. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in order for us to take the first step, we got to believe by faith to take the first step. Before we can take the second step, it's watching Christopher coming up here, and he can walk quite well. You just have to watch it when he starts running, right? The kid's smart. Yes, he is. And so you have to understand that, we have to keep in step with the will of God. And Timothy, that was Paul's son in the Lord. And I hope that there are people we know in the faith today that are our sons or daughters in the Lord. And we can be examples as fathers and mothers in the faith because we all need people to look up to. And so you have Timothy, who was like-minded, same kind of vision like we have here today, and also a commitment. And then, of course, we have here who were called to the saints and faithful, verse 2, faithful brethren in Christ Jesus who are in Colossae, which is in modern day Turkey. Now the city is destroyed. Back in first century, there was an earthquake which destroyed the city. And so, I'm sure people died, but I'm sure the faith went on. People move on with their faith and things get done. The gospel goes. And remember, things happen to everybody. And so it was a small city. It wasn't very big. But Laodicea wasn't that far. You had the town of Ephesus, which was a couple hundred miles away. So there was a population there. So you had a lot of the Jewish a lot of the pagan there, and you had Christians that came out of that. So henceforth, you had the heresies that were Paul had to address. So moving on here, you go on and you look here. It says verse 2, grace and peace from God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And right here we have mention of the triune God. See, where do you get that? Well, you get grace and peace through the Holy Spirit. That what dwells within you. And you have God the Father and Jesus Christ. So if anybody tries to tell you doctrinally there is no such thing as a triune God, yes, there is. Okay? And we're going to be addressing this further in the Colossae's letter and to the believers. And so thank God that we can get our grace and our peace. Here means that God stored up his help, dispensed his people of his in times of need. Today we're looking at a world that is in a lot of help. And it is a lot of need. There's a lot of things changing in our government that we're seeing. We think, oh, okay, that's it. Okay, we're done. No, it's not. We're constantly getting things changing in our government, trying to downsize things. We'll pray for wisdom. Pray for the people getting laid off. That they too will have, if they come to know the Christ, they will understand the grace of God. Remember, grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. So God has given us all that we need if we call upon him. And then the word peace has the idea of being interwoven. God interweaves within us. If we are wearing something that somebody had made for us, that wove something together for us, they had to take their time. We just pray every day that we can take time, let God weave in us. His Holy Spirit would weave in us and strengthen us and protect us and comfort us at this time. So it also it can mean sometimes denotes tranquility of mind that frees the Christian from free and anxiety. And it's the peace that passeth all understanding. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't have peace, well, you ought to check yourself out and ask yourself, Lord, help me to have the peace. Help me to have the mind of Christ. And so moving along here, you see here in verse 3, now we give thanks in verse 3. And, you know, he was thankful. Paul was thankful writing from prison. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit to share this with us. I know that many of us are going through trials and have been through the fire, so to speak. Some of us are very tired here this morning. But by the grace of God, you got here. And by the grace of God, you'll get back home. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Remember, God understands everything. And if you don't believe it, read your Bible, right? And sometimes I have to read it too, because I have to ask myself as a pastor, Lord, did you really go through this too? Do you really understand this? And, you know, the Holy Spirit, what? Directs me to Jesus when I read the Word of God. It says here in John 4:23, whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Jesus said that to his disciples. So they were going, it was tough for the disciples. Remember, they had to give thanks, but they didn't understand Jesus half the time. They were like trying to figure out, like sometimes in our lives today, we're trying to figure out one step at a time to understand what the Lord's will is in our lives. We want God's perfect will. We don't want his permissive will. We want, Lord, that's tough. It is hard to understand what the Lord is, Lord's will is sometimes. We can say, well, it's knowing God's word is knowing his will, but I think it's deeper than that. I think, you know, if we want to have a mind of Christ, we have to really search our hearts and then step out by faith and go with it. And then also David said this in Psalms 50:23, And he said, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise my name forever and ever. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength in time of need. The Colossae church was being bombarded with bad doctrine. Like I said last week, there, you know, if you go visit a church, if you go on vacation, you go visiting places, check their doctrine out. If they don't want to share their doctrine, don't go there. Look it up online. It's the easiest thing to do. Okay? And then we go on to say here that we give thanks to God. Verse 3, he goes on to say, to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. One author wrote down here, there have been more battles won in prayer than in the battlefields. I'll say this again. For those who are prayer warriors, and you're saying, well, I don't feel like I'm out in the battlefield. I don't, you know, I'm praying all the time. I can't even get up half the time because I hurt so bad. I'm getting old. Don't ever forget this. More battles are won in prayer than in the battlefield. So remember, our Lord Jesus got on his face in the Garden of Gethsemane before he had to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to become sin. Listen, sin for our sins. If somebody was a rapist, he became a rapist. If somebody became a murderer, he became a murderer. Saying, that's horrible. Well, he became sin because he loves us. Can you imagine? That's why he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Because he was going to become sin for us. It's hard to imagine anybody, let alone to die for my sins, as well as our sins today. Oh, it just makes you fall in love with him more and more. You know, that's spiritual love. Okay. Also, we need to remember to not only give thanksgiving, but prayer. There was a man named Stephen Otterburn writes some time ago, I read about the work in Wycliffe Bible Translator in a remote village in Papua New Guinea. When the opening of the chapters of Genesis were first translated into the native language, the attitude toward women in the tribe changed overnight. They had not realized or understood that a woman had been specially formed out of the side of a man. Without even hearing this concept develop, these people immediately grasped the ideas of equality between the sexes and began adjusting their behavior. The people heard, they believed, they obeyed, they changed, just like that. That change doesn't mean that everybody in the tribe immediately came to know in faith in Christ. However, while they immediately recognized the respect of God has been both men and women, the members of the tribe had their own hard-to-abandon gods, and superstitions. One of their practices was to spit on the wounds of the sick. Their medicine men were known as spitters, and they did not want someone like Jesus to take away their status in the village. So, you know, they were kind of superstitious. However, the attitude changed as more of the Bible was translated into the tribe's dialect. When the translators read the passage where Jesus cured the blind man in a most unusual way, the medicine men pricked up their ears. The master spit on the ground, made a paste of mud, put it on the man's eyelids, told them to wash it off. In other words, Jesus created new eyes. In the Greek, that's what it means. And the man was healed. Excuse me. When these tribesmen heard this story in their own language, they saw that Jesus was not against them, but for them they found one of their own, a savior who was also a spitter. And it came to the Lord because of this connection. There was a connection there. And so no matter what, there are a lot of superstitious people out in the world today. Right? You heard of that? Knock on wood? Nothing wrong with that, right? No, I'm not going to go there, please. You have your freedom in Christ. Doesn't mean that, you know. And we're not looking for demons under every rug here. No, we're not like that. okay, we have the freedom in Christ, what? Not to sin. So what it's saying here, you know, and what I'm trying to tell you is that in Colossae, there was a lot of superstitious things going on, as in the world today. You know, witchcraft is on the, it's on the horizon. It's on the upbeat because people are looking for supernatural power, the wrong kind of power. Satan is a counterfeit. Satan is a liar. And also, do not trust anything from him. In the New Tribes, missions, there are 800 tribal languages. There are over 300 people groups in PNG. And by the way, I got this information from the back table. So, Bill's looking at me. Mm-hmm. Bill's good at what he does. So I got to be careful. Okay. So, and then, there are 80 plus tribal locations where we've had missionaries and so on and so forth. Church established in New Tribes Mission, PNG, since 1950. There's been over 400 and on and on. And there's 46 active plants as of the year before last. And so we need to be praying. Need to be praying for our missionaries, whether they be anywhere in the world, because we're told to go into all the world and share the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me move on here. So he says, I'm always praying for you. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love and for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which we heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In these couple of verses, you have three words that come out: faith, hope, and love. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Looking at verses 4 through 5. And so, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, yeah, you have faith, hope, and love. What is the greatest of these three? Is love. Who is the embodiment of love right now? Is one of his attributes is Jesus Christ. So he's, you know, Paul's saying to the churches in his day, as well as our church today, remember, we have the love of Christ and we have the truth of the gospel. And I'm so very, very thankful for my pastor who raised me in the faith and a very much. And also my education. But I tell you what, it doesn't end there. I'm always learning. And I'm always learning from other people. You know, you never come to the end and say you have arrived. You're kidding yourself. Don't fool yourself. That's called pride right there. Because as somebody says, I don't know nothing. I don't know if I go that far. But you know what? You got to learn. You got to grow. So it says here, verse 6, which has come to you, the truth of the gospel. Let me encourage each of the young people here today. You have the truth of the gospel. You have an opportunity. Don't be like those people who said, oh man, I could have, I would have, but I didn't, you know. And even as we get older too, it doesn't stop there. You still have the opportunity to learn. Let me tell you, you have a golden opportunity. Grab it. Don't lose it, okay? Grab it while you can, because you may not have another opportunity. And, you know, so, which has come to you in all the world, verse 6, and bring it forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it and knew from the grace of God at truth. Now, the gospel has gone into all the world, and back in this article here says the internet is now a household word. According to James Coates, writes when the internet began in 1962, when Paul Barron, an engineer at the RAD Corporation think tank, found a way to move messages through the network of the Defense Department computers in 1968. The Department of Defense commissioned the Advanced Research Projects Agency to build the ARPANET. 1971, 23 computers were on the ARPA .NET. 1981, IBM introduced the personal computer, bringing the computer to home. By 1984, more than 1,000 computers were on the internet. The kingdom of God, as he writes, is like the internet. It began in a small, with only a few disciples following Jesus, but it spread for 2,000 years, person by person by person. You know, you take this life one day at a time, and you're like, Lord, I have a whole list. You know, that's why I was late getting up here. I'm telling my teacher this because she's teaching me music, you know, and she wants me to be good at it. And we're all trying to teach each other to be good at what we do, okay? But it takes a day-to-day process, you know, and we may have a list of things to do, but remember, it's God who is in control. I am worried sometimes about some of you all because I love every one of you. And I'm thinking, Lord, why aren't they here? What's going on? How are they doing? You know, God's saying, look, I'll take care of them. You just take care of you. You can't take care of yourself. What good are you to anybody else, right? But my point is that, excuse me, you're always there in spirit with me. I'm always thinking about you, praying about you. Okay? So, but it goes person to person. He says, culture to culture, with more and more people getting online with God. So this is encouraging. If anybody's here today interested in missions, there's a couple guys had something to say, which I think is true. Okay, whether you're at home with your mission, because we're all called to the mission field, each one of us. You go out in the driveway, right? The mission field has just begun. You know, you see that little sign. You might miss it, but it's there. And it hasn't stopped. Robert Chapman of Barnes Staple, a great friend of the late George Mueller of Bristol, once said, would you not advise young Christians to do something for the Lord? No, was his reply. I should advise them to do everything for the Lord. What he's saying is give your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Give him everything. Okay? Say, I'm too young to understand that. Well, you know, it starts with being obedient to your parents, submitting to them, trusting them. Oh, you know, wait a minute. My dad and mom, they're not perfect. Guess what? They aren't. But one day you might be dads and moms. So learn from them. Learn from their good points. Learn from their bad points, too. Remember, by the grace of God, they are who they are. And then another section here says, the Mission Society is reported to have written to Dr. Livingston, have you found a good road to where you are? And if so, we want to send other men to join you, he says. Livingston replied, if you have men who will come only if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. You know, you step out by faith. Bill and I were talking, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name. He's interested in missions. And, you know, we both agreed, you got to step out by faith. Anything in life, you have to step out by faith. You have to believe it. And there are a lot of people who think today that the ministry is easy. Well, it's not. For example, we got somebody in Estonia who should have been back months ago but had blood problems. And hopefully he'll get back March 26th. We have a whole family here today. He's got a mission to go down to Illinois. He's going to be visiting other churches. We have one dear person in Ghana with his wife. They've got medical issues. And I'm not here to say what it's about. But they're dealing with kids because it's all about the kids bringing up next generation with the gospel. We have some white-haired, gray-haired foxes here today who are older in the Lord that you're saying, yeah, we need another generation to keep on with the gospel. It's as simple as that. Because after we're gone, who's going to be left? But, you know, I've learned with God. I'm not worried about it because I've learned with God there's always a remnant. Always, God always leaves a remnant. So you never know who's going to be who one day. We might have somebody here, somebody said, yeah, we might have be somebody here is going to be the next president of the United States. You know, I don't know about that, but I'd rather have a servant of the Lord any day, you know. So be who God has called you to be. Yeah, and you'll know that. And share it with your parents. Parents will guide you. And we don't have much time left, and we'll have to continue with this message next week. But I will work that out together too. But it says, so he was telling the church, look, this is for all the saints in the world. You're not the only ones. There are other people like you today, and there's bad doctrine going around. So let me encourage you. And so he says, which has come into you has gone into all the world, verse 6, and bringing forth the fruit, as also among you since the day you have heard and knew the grace of God in truth. So we've known about the grace and God with truth because we are under condemnation. Being guilty of sin, we stand condemned in the sight of God in danger of everlasting death. Our alienation, being guilty of sin, we also find ourselves separated from God. Our propitiation, but in the love of mercy, God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins to appease God at just and righteous anger. Justification, by responding by obedient faith, we can be justified, declared not guilty by virtue of Jesus' sacrificial love. Reconciliation, free from the guilt of sin, we can now be reconciled by God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sanctification, by virtue of Christ's death, we may also be set apart in the service of the glory of God. So you're saying to yourself, wow, that's a lot. I can live with that. You know, God that loves me, or God that cares about me, through God's grace. You remember Jim Elliot gave his life there in the mission field? You know, I'm sure Jim didn't expect what was going to happen. Neither did his wife. But he was killed overseas for his faith. And he quoted here, "The only hope that I have, he will let me preach to those who have never heard the name of Jesus." What else is worthwhile in this life? "I have heard of nothing better, Lord, send me." So let me encourage you this week. Let me give you a gentle push. By all means, ask the Lord to send you somewhere this week. Say, well, wait a minute. I'm not a full-time minister. I'm not a full-time mission. No, 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 no. Every one of us has been sent. And Matthew says that we have all been sent over and over again in the epistles. It comes out in the Gospels that God has sent each one of us to be light bearers, to be truth seekers, to be sent of the Lord. Ask God to give you a little push today, okay? I'm asking God to give me a little push today as far as missions go. Because, you know, I can't rely on me. No way. Are you kidding me? I have to ask the Lord to help, to give me a little push. Ask yourself this week, you know, as we're giving our thanksgiving prayers to one another, that we can do this. We can do it. All we have to do is just be willing to do it. We have a choice to do it. You say, oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I can't walk, let alone, I'm getting older. Well, you know what? There are more battles, won by those people praying, okay, than battles won on the front. And pray for those people that are on the front here, okay? And some of you are on the front today, okay, with your faith. Some of you are really hurting. And don't ever forget, God loves you, and God knows that. And God's still going to use you. Doesn't matter how old you are, hey, or how young you are, God can still use it. Keep the faith. Let's pray. Father, before we have our communion and Father, let us just take this time and to remember, Lord, before we take it, that we want to be tight. As the kids say, I want to be tight with my mommy and my daddy. Well, Lord, help us to be tight with you spiritually. And pray for those who don't know you, Jesus, as Savior. Remember, Jesus can take your sins and he can put them on that cross. Say, I'm such a bad person, and I hope it's never, I'm such a righteous person. I'm such a perfect person. This is not for you. This is for somebody who humbles themselves, that realizes that they're a sinner and they need Christ, the anointed one. We just pray, Lord, that you'd work in their lives and believe by faith what Jesus did with his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe it today. He loves you.